Welcome back. Actually, you know what? It's been so long since we've done this. I'm not even welcoming back people. I'm just going to do a fresh introduction. This is Kay and Kay's Indie Gaming Corner, the freshest place to get all your indie gaming news on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Stitcher, on your favorite podcasting platform. My name is Kyle, and with me, I've got my trusty, my lovely, my handsome, my dancing co-host, Carrington!
Hey, hey, hey! Today is a fantastic time, because we got games, we got discussions, we got Kyle, and that was a lovely introduction, by the way. Thank you very much.
Oh, did you just say that's a lovely introduction and complimented yourself? And said thank you to yourself.
I was saying that you had a great introduction, just in general. Like, the introduction to the podcast was great. I loved it. I love the energy. I love this.
My brain went to a different place there. I'm sorry. So this is KK's Indie Gaming Corner, a place where we talk about indie games, video games in general, gaming news, new games we're playing, off topics as well. And if you haven't heard of us, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but now you're going to. So, why don't we just do a little fresh catch up here, briefly, Carrington?
Absolutely.
In the world of video games, indie games and non-indie games, have you been playing anything in general, or are you just been busy with summer activities?
Both. How's that sound? I've been busy with both.
Okay.
Playing a lot of disc golf. I haven't played as much in the past couple of weeks or so, but I've been playing a lot of disc golf. I've been playing quite a bit of F-Zero 99 on the Switch, actually. It is a lot of fun. It's quite fantastic.
Is that a game that revolves around the world of F-Zero-X?
Yes, it does. And there are 99 other players that you have to beat. I have yet to win.
99 or Tetris, whatever it is.
Yes, yeah, just like Tetris 99, but it's F-Zero. Like, it is literally racing. You're literally racing with 99 other players.
Are
yeah.
you kidding? I feel like I need to try. This is up my alley. Like, that sounds. Listen, I know the significance of Tetris and how important it is to gaming history. I don't care for it. I don't play it. I don't. So I'm sorry. Not dogging people that do play it. Not dogging the game in general. It just doesn't appeal to me. So Tetris 99 does not appeal to me in general. But F-Zero 99 sounds awesome.
Complete with modes. Different game modes that happen at certain times or timed events. There's season events. There's all kinds of things that you can do and win and get. And it's amazing.
Like it.
The tutorial takes about probably 10 to 15-ish minutes to go through. And after that, it sets you free into the world of 99 other players.
Have you got a victory on it?
Not yet, but I've gotten a couple top three finishes, though.
Ooh, that's good. That's solid.
It's solid. Some really hard tracks in there, some really easy tracks in there. Does it matter if it's a hard track or an easy track? No, because trust me when I say... It's just straight up hard.
So it's free to play on Switch?
Free to play on Switch as long as you're paying for the Nintendo Online
premium
whatever.
Subscription yeah. service.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If you want to cut this out, you can, but I've been playing Starfield.
Okay.
And I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3 as well.
Okay.
And I think that's everything.
I've not played Baldur's Gate 3. Now, I have played the previous Baldur's Gate games. I grew up playing Chambers of North, Chambers Return to Arms, which revolves around the D&D universe, as well as Dark Alliance, which is a Baldur's Gate game for PS2 and Dark Alliance 2. And those games are phenomenal. So I can only, and I know the buzz on Twitter for Baldur's Gate is huge. Starfield, I have been playing. The game is, it is good. And maybe we'll get into some off-topic discussion regarding that game later on. For myself,
I hear your new dog. Yes.
I have a dog. He's barking right now. Cosmo!
That's me making...
He barks at the neighbors.
Gotcha. Okay. Bark, bark.
Nope. Cosmo, stop.
I have a hot take question for you.
Okay. Oh.
And it's off topic from video games. Right, which dog is better, Pixie or Cosmo?
All right, let me talk about this real quick, because I'm sure viewers and listeners do not know the difference between the dogs here. Cosmo, stop! I've got a shock collar for him, and usually I beep him or I vibrate his neck, and then if he's real bad, I will shock. And usually real bad, the only thing is I've been training him to walk, go on walks with me without a collar or without a leash. And if he runs off and takes off after deer or any other animals, then I will shock his collar so it gets him to like not chase them. This will run off in the woods and he's gone. Pixie was a 3.5-pound Yorkie poo. That was, and she was a significant part of our family, especially when my wife was dealing with depression. She is still alive. She doesn't live very far from us. We gave her to a good friend whenever our oldest daughter would manhandle her, and we thought it wasn't safe for her to live here. Cosmo is a 25-pound Australian Shepherd doodle or poodle. He is a male. He's named after Cosmo Kramer from Seinfeld.
Oh, not Cosmo, the Russian dog that went to space.
No, Kramer, because we were going to name him Kramer, and then we thought, well, let's go with Cosmo. He is an Oreo-colored dog, and besides his barking, I like him a lot, because he's the only other dude in my family.
Fair enough.
Share that bond together. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sure, sure.
Yes, so I know this has nothing to do with gaming, but Cosmo is better.
Okay.
Yeah, he could take it. He could take, you know, the abuse from the kids too, a little bit, you know, hair pulling and wrestling and stuff. But yeah, wow. And speaking of Cosmo and jumping into different worlds outside in outer space, there is this game I want to talk about.
Sure. Wait, what have you been playing? You haven't said that yet. Or is that what you're about to say?
No, okay, no. Actually, all right. That would have been a great transition. Thank you for not allowing that to happen. Speaking of indie games in general, so Bowie, my daughter, and I played through Little Nightmares 2. I guarantee you, if you go back maybe 2 years on this podcast, you would have heard an episode where... Actually, no, because when we moved to Cincinnati, we weren't recording that much. It was about maybe a couple months after. Little Nightmares 2 had just came out when we moved to Cincinnati. And I played through. It was the first game I played through when we moved. And my daughter was watching me. And there is... That franchise is known for making terrifying bosses and just creatures in general. And she saw... There's a specific... If you've played the game, you know the teacher in the game... And the teacher is horrifying. Neck grows long and snakes through different areas. And definitely had nightmares over that. Well, we are 3 years in the future. And she said, Daddy, I want to play Little Nightmares 2. I want to see the snake neck lady. So we played through it. And now she's jumping into the lore of Little Nightmares. So if you know about the franchise, there's a mobile game. There's Little Nightmares 1 and 2, and Little Nightmares 3 was just announced recently. Mm-hmm. The mobile game is like the prequel to the series. Little Nightmares 2, the events in Little Nightmares 2 actually take place before Little Nightmares 1.
So, let me get this straight. You got Little Nightmares 1, Little Nightmares 2 is a prequel. You got the mobile game, which is a prequel to the prequel.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. We have not played the mobile game. The artwork and the gameplay is a lot different than the games that we know on PlayStation, Xbox, whatever, the Switch, everything else. But we played through Little Nightmares 2, beat the game, and then we are playing through Little Nightmares 1 right now, currently. And it holds up, man. The game is so good. And the more lore that I look into and the videos I look up on it and about the characters, it's like it's a lot deeper of a game than I made it out to be. I just thought it was kind of a game that wasn't a mimic of Inside, but was a, you know, if you like Inside, if you like Limbo, then Little Nightmares is a series that you should check out as well, because it kind of resembles those games. It's dark, It's like what would you, like a 2.5D side scrolling game.
Yeah, that's accurate.
And it's a good series. So Bo and I have been playing that, and really that has been the majority of my nights playing Little Rocket League and
Yeah, Little
Starfield as
Rocket League.
well. But that's about it. But speaking of Little Nightmares and Inside, there's a game that came out that I am so excited about, a game that we have known about for a couple of years now, I believe. Created by Geometric Interactive. Jeff Carlson is a part of this developer group.
Tell me, Kyle, who is this Jeb Carlson?
Jeff Carlson is the lead gameplay designer of Limbo and Inside.
What?
So those games are incredible. And Inside, like, and I
Beautiful.
preach today, Inside is a 10 out of 10 game. You play through the game, there's not one bug, there's not one glitch. The sound design, the gameplay design, the puzzles, everything about the game is perfect. 10 out of 10, perfect. It might be one of the only few games that I have felt like, whoa, the dedication and time put into this game is phenomenal. Like, it is a perfect experience. Still a game that I go back and I play probably once a year. Played it with my kid. Played it on our, what was there, 16-hour stream that we did. It's such a good game. So when I heard about Cocoon, which is a game that is created by Jeff Carlson, Geometric Interactive, I was like, I have got to experience this because I want more of Inside. I want more of Limbo. Well, let me tell you, this game is nothing like those games at all.
Nope.
It is nothing like it, and it does not hurt me on the inside because it's
Okay.
still so good.
I was about to say in a good way or bad way, so you definitely answered my question.
So
Yes.
I know you had just a little bit of time with the game so far. With just your initial half hour or so playing it, I just want to know what your thoughts are regarding like going into it. And this is obviously not like an in-depth discussion about your experience with the game, just your initial take of the game itself.
So initial take. Okay, so booting it up, it does remind me of Limbo and Inside in the way it starts. There's no menu, there's nothing. It just puts you right into the game immediately. And that is where the similarities end. And I feel like we're going to be comparing past games, being Limbo and Inside, to Cocoon, just because it comes from someone who worked on those games. Cocoon immediately grabs you because it is immediately colorful and bright. Not saying it's a happy world or anything, but the colors and the art immediately stand out. Whereas Limbo and Inside, it was much more simple. Everything was simple. It was more like shapes. If that makes sense. If you've played those games, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It was more like shapes. Whereas this is just like, wow, this is bright, this is colorful. That immediately stood out to me. It controls fantastic, which I was not surprised. The biggest difference, I'll say, for the people that are listening, Inside and Limbo are traditional 2D experiences in that, you're just going left to right. Whereas Cocoon, it's more of a top-down view, kind of like a Diablo or something like that, or Gauntlet, where it's top down, isometric view. I don't want to say this without a spoiler or anything, but the first
It's
time
20
you
minutes in. We're not hitting spoiler territory.
the how's this the first time you get transported, I'm trying to be as vague as possible.
Well, it okay, hold on. Before you get your thought here,
Okay.
because the description of the game itself is Cocoon takes you on an adventure across worlds within worlds. So you master world leaping mechanics to unravel a cosmic mystery. So you're jumping from world to world.
Yes. Okay.
I'm not giving you a migraine, am I?
No, no. I'm just thinking. Like, okay. I was rubbing my head, like thinking, okay. Like, getting ready, massaging.
Okay. So there it is. You jump through worlds.
Yes, yes. That first time you jump, I was like, it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yep.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, for sure. It's like, it's trippy because I feel like I saw Jep tweet, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. It's J-E-P-P-E. I believe it's Jep Carlson. Cocoon is a little bit like Zelda. It's a little bit like Metroid. But it's nothing like those games at all. Like, you travel through different areas, but it's the same areas. It's that top-down perspective on your character as well. And it's the boss battles are a lot. They remind me a lot of like Metroid or Zelda as well. I will say, all right, so Limbo and Inside are very dark games. I feel like this game might be somewhat, the story itself might be somewhat dark. I haven't got to a certain point. I haven't beat the game, so a disclaimer. I've not gotten all the way through this game yet itself. But the sound design, I started playing on a speaker. I thought, this sounds like something I need to play with a headset on. I need that dynamic sound to it. It's so good.
It's fantastic.
It's part of the experience itself. Is like, if you play Inside, if you've never played it before, please play it with a stellar sound system. If you don't, play it with at least earbuds or headphones or something to where you can really get the true sense of the sound of the game, because it really adds to the experience. It adds to your experience. And with this, after I played with a headset, I was like, this is the rest of the game. I need to play it this way because the audio wraps its arms around you and pulls you in, and it makes the experience all the better. Boss fight. I've gone through the first boss fight. It is phenomenal. It's
fun. I have not gotten there yet. Okay.
And the thing, so I don't want to spoil too much, but the thing I appreciate about it is, if you get defeated by the boss, you don't technically die. You get teleported back to the previous world you were in. And then you jump back into the orb, you go and you fight again. So there's not really, there wasn't a death screen for me. I didn't have a checkpoint. I just got teleported back and I had to go back and fight the boss again. When I saw this game for the first time, the announcement of it, I was a little skeptical because deep inside, I wanted more Limbo. I wanted more Inside. And I was like, what is going on here? Like, I don't want to... I don't really... This looks weird. This doesn't look dark. This doesn't look somewhat morbid. This looks bright. This is vibrant. It's different. With this, different is good.
Different is really good. Very good. And I can already see, I don't know if you're getting these vibes also, but at the point where I'm like, I'm already seeing a nature versus machine kind of thing going on here. And I'm curious to see where the game takes it itself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I saw that as well. Within the first boss fight that I had. And I'm curious if the replayability is high, like there's a lot of replayability, because I'm not sure if the boss that I fought is one that I needed to fight right then and there.
Sure. And the thing with,
I'm not sure about, oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say real quick, like the thing with Inside, you really only need to replay it twice, once for the initial thing and then another time for like the other ending you can get.
Yep.
But the reason we do replay them so much is because of how incredible that experience is and how it makes you feel, even knowing the journey. It still makes you feel something from playing it. I wonder if Cocoon will have that same effect.
Like if I feel like I need to go back and play it.
Just in general.
Yeah. I'm curious how long the game is. I haven't looked anything up about how long it is to beat it. And for me, that is a big thing with Inside. It's like, to me, Inside is a movie. I go back to the Dark Knight trilogy maybe once every year, if not every other year, to rewatch it, because I know it's, I don't know what, 8 hours of movie or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. To watch because I enjoy the experience. And same with Inside. That is a game that I like to experience every so often. And I'm, mm-hmm. and so far with Cocoon, I feel like I want to go back and re-experience it. I think the replayability is going to be there. I'm curious as to how, if I can play it in different ways. Like, do mm-hmm. I need to go certain routes every time? Does it play, is it linear like Limbo and Inside? Or am I kind of free to explore where I want in the game?
I'm curious as well. I do what I always do when I have a little bit of freedom in a game like this, is just, I explore. And as soon as I find something that is pushing me forward, I'll go back and be like, was I supposed to go here? Was I not supposed to go here yet? Is there something over here? Maybe there's a secret. Maybe there's something over here. So I do wonder if there are Easter eggs, if there's alternative paths, if there's, I don't know. I'm already seeing certain things, but I don't know if that means anything yet, because I'm still within 30-ish minutes of playing.
Well, and you get different abilities through the, I believe, the orbs that you get. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if with those orbs there's secret paths unlocked that you can, you know, continue your exploration. Because I try to explore every nook and cranny that I can, and I'm sure I'm not hitting every point that in the game that I should be hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It's on Game Pass right now.
It is on Game Pass, and it is free if you have Game Pass, both PC and Xbox. I don't think it's on other platforms, is it? It's on everything. You have no excuse to skip it. It's on everything. I just looked it up. I should have looked this up before. It's on everything. It's on PC. It's on Switch. It's on last gen consoles, PS4 and Xbox One. Current gen consoles. There's
been a reason not to play it.
And it's on the Switch. It's everything.
I hate telling people to go play games that I've not completed, but it's from a reliable source. It's like saying, if I were to tell you that you need to play a game on the Switch because it's created by Nintendo,
I'm going to play it
because you know it's a reliable source.
Right.
Yeah. So this is really good. If you like to scratch your head with some puzzles, if you like fantastic sound design, if you like games that make you think, Cocoon is there. It's there for you. It's a game that you should check out before the year is over. And I don't see it being a game that's going to take 20 hours to beat.
No.
I think you're going to look to 10 hours or less for this game.
If that, probably. Because your average single-player experience nowadays is from a AAA title. It's in the 8-hour range. So I would say even less than 8, probably.
Right. I agree. And that's Cocoon by Geometric Interactive. Chip Carlson, part of the team. And yeah, you should check this out. Boom! Welcome to the news section of KK's Indie Gaming Corner. Carrington, there are four things I want to talk about. Honestly, just two things in general. I'm going to go through this list real quick, and then we're going to touch on two things within this list. Games that you want to keep an eye out for this month in October. One that's already out, Wargroove 2.
Let's go.
We'll get back to that here in a second.
Okay.
Second one, Wizard with a Gun, a game that looks pretty cool. Endless Dungeon, coming out on the 19th. And then another game that we'll talk about, Dave the Diver is already out on certain platforms, but it's coming to the Switch on the 26th. So before we get into that, I want to bring it back to Wargroove 2. A game that we loved here on, well, what was previously Real Dudes Podcast, now KK's Indie Gaming Corner. Carrington, have you had a chance to play Wargroove 2? If not, are you going to dive into it?
For sure. Have not had a chance to get it yet. It's been on my radar since it was announced. I'll probably get it in the next week or so. I love the first one. If you love turn-based strategy games, this is right up your alley. Nintendo did finally, finally, Nintendo released the remake for Advance Wars 1 and 2. I did play through those over the summer, actually. And, you know, I'm still need an itch. I still have an itch that needs to be scratched in that genre. So I'm glad that Wargroove 2 is now out. It's funny how I think I gave Wargroove a 9.5 out of 10 when we reviewed it. It was up there.
You loved it, and I really enjoyed it as well. And
I'm excited to see what they've done that might be different, because there are certain things that when it came to Advance Wars, there are a couple of game mechanics that I prefer in Advance Wars over Wargroove. So I want to see if Wargroove did anything different this time around, that changes the overall feel to it. If they maybe copied some more mechanics from Advance Wars, if they came up with new ones on their own, I don't know, but I'm excited to see what's to come. The story was great, the art was great, music fantastic. I wish I had more friends that were into it as much as I was, because the multiplayer was also really well done. And I love that you could create your own campaign.
The online battling that you could do.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the four of us did play a couple matches or so. You guys said I was cheating.
I forgot about that. I'm sorry.
Because I remember that was cross play, which is, you know, rare. So gosh, that game was so good.
So to let our listeners / viewers have a little better understanding of what the game is, Wargroove 2, you said it's a tactical turn-based RPG. It is set back into a fantasy setting. Multiple kingdoms in a war against each other.
Yeah.
There is fighting, there is magic, there is different races, different classes.
Each commander has different abilities.
I feel like battles take about, you have to expect 20 to 30 minutes out of a battle.
And that's quick. That's considered quick.
Right. I feel like some battles took 45 minutes to an hour sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get frustrated and you want to reset because you lose or something, or you do something dumb. I never played the Advanced Wars games. Never played them, so this was kind of my entry into that. But I spent a hefty amount of time playing Final Fantasy Tactics Advance on the Game Boy Advance, and this scratched that itch for me.
See, for those that are listening, there are different kinds of, you know, I said if you're an Advance Wars fan, this will scratch that itch. Kyle's like, hey, if you're a Final Fantasy Tactics fan, this will scratch that itch. So it sounds like Wargroove is
tactical RPG. Yeah, and the last year, including December, November of 2022, we have gotten a lot of classic RPGs at our hands. We have Sea of Stars, we have not talked about, which I have not played.
I've not played.
I've been so excited for the game. What was the other game that we played? Chained Echoes.
Chained Echoes, fantastic, made by one person. One person.
Yeah, fantastic game. Now we get Wargroove 2, We are in an era of classic RPGs right now.
We're in an era where indie games are doing fantastic jobs with not only bringing back a nostalgic feeling to what we want more of, but also bringing something new to the table at the same time, which is really hard to do. Like Chained Echoes, for example, which you mentioned. If you love classic RPGs like Chrono Trigger, kind of feel to it, Chained Echoes is right up your alley, but it's also not a straight ripoff of those classic PS1 Super Nintendo era of RPGs.
Experience. We've talked about it previously, and I don't know if that episode.
I feel so bad. We did record an episode.
I've been there. We've got a secret episode in the archives. But Chained Echoes, it is a game that really is, it's a fresh breath for classic RPGs that I don't know where I'm going with this. If you like classic RPGs, you should play it.
RPGs, just hands down.
I also want to talk about Dave the Diver. I don't know if you played it.
Dave the Diver, sorry, I couldn't help it.
Have you played Dave the Diver?
I've not played it, but I've seen it played,
dude. It's so good.
I should probably just Just suck it up. Buy it.
It's one of the best games. Carrington, I promise you. The game is one of the best games this year.
Wow. Wow. We're not
talking about all this other AAA crap that's come out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dave the Diver is it.
It is a game of all games. And it has, like, anime stuff in it. It's got, like, dude, I'm about to buy it for you so you can play it. I'm telling you, it's a lighthearted, but it's a fun game. It's funny. And it's coming out on Switch. I don't know if that is the best platform. I've played it on PC.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Switch is the best platform for it. PC is, it's really fun on PC.
One of my favorite YouTubers, I watch this person, this one person every day. And he mentioned Dave the Diver and how great it is. And I'm like, I gotta buy it. And then I don't know what happened. Everybody at work, they love video games. They love indie games. They have more games than I do on Steam. I've got 700 games on Steam. They have more than I do. They have Dave the Diver. And they talked about it and said, Carrington, you need to get it. So, and now you're telling me I need to get it. So I gotta get it.
I don't
know
what you're doing. Please get it. I don't know.
I don't know. I guess that's what happens when you spend 100 hours in Baldur's Gate. You forget about Dave
get
the Diver.
Off that junk and play this game because it's so good. I'm glad it's coming to Switch. I feel like besides PC, Switch is the. I hate saying this because Game Pass has a lot of indie games on it too, but Switch mm-hmm. has so many games on it as well.
It does. It does. And I feel bad because I have not given my Switch love until recently with F-Zero 99, but. I do need to give my Switch more love, aka more indies more love as well.
Yeah, so Dave the Diver, perfect time to get it. Get it on PC if you can play it on PC. But also the idea of taking it with you on the go, like I wish I had this with me at hotels and stuff when we mm-hmm. would go out of town, because it's one of those games where it's like, all right, I can jump on for 30 minutes. I can do an exploration. I can sell stuff at my sushi shop, and I can mm-hmm. go on with life after that.
Or
through a day.
Or you spend $500 and get a Steam Deck.
No,
which I'm not doing. I don't have. I don't have one.
Switch. I wish I had a Steam Deck, but
I wish I had one as well. But no, I don't got one.
I wonder if we can count that as a business write off. Anyways, so the biggest. Two biggest things this month, Wargroove 2 coming out October 5th, Dave the Diver coming out 26th on the Switch. So yeah, the Switch is where it's at. Phil, Chef, the Switch is where it's at.
You heard it here, folks. One of the games that I said I was playing over the past couple months or so, that you said you have also been playing, it's been out for roughly a month now. This is Bethesda's first game they've released since being acquired by Microsoft, and that is Starfield. Mm-hmm.
I feel like their biggest game since they've released Fallout 76.
Yeah, which it's been a while. It's been a while.
Like their OG, this is their IP.
This is their IP. This is Starfield is fresh. This is an original IP from them. It's an everything about this is original, except there's one thing that's not quite original, Kyle.
This is not indie at all. So
no.
Just
but
so
this...
listen, I know we talk about indie games, but this is worthy of being discussed.
I believe so as well. Where were they going? Oh yeah, the one thing that's not original by Starfield. Yeah. One thing. And I'm not talking about story, I'm not talking about idea, I am talking about the game engine itself. Do you think that the game engine that Bethesda uses that gives it that quote unquote Bethesda magic touch, do you think their formula and the tech that they use is outdated? And here's what I mean. Let me explain. Because I'm not talking about the graphics of the game. I think it looks great. I'm talking about how people look. I'm talking about how conversations flow. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the combat, which I do think that is probably one of the few things about the engine that's still pretty solid. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about just overall physics as well of the game, of the Bethesda games.
Is this a next gen game? Is that what you're like?
Yes. Because we are in a time where I'm gonna throw these two names out. We are living in a time where Baldur's Gate has set a new bar for RPGs in general. Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty also came out recently and also set a bar for RPGs in general.
Which is just that is DLC, like that's not a new
Yeah.
IP at all.
Well, I'll say
Because well,
Cyberpunk in general, because that
Baldur's
was
Gate has not been released in years.
years. Because I was talking about this with people at work and how, like, Cyberpunk, well, we'll take Cyberpunk for example. A conversation, we'll just take a normal conversation with an NPC. Cyberpunk, it flows. It flows natural. You can walk up to a person, they'll start talking to you. If you walk away, they'll stop talking. And you can move while they talk if you want to. There's even conversations where you're eating with NPCs. You can have a drink with an NPC, like a beer if you want to. Whereas a game like Bethesda, which I love Bethesda games, don't get me wrong, I've been
Game
playing
like
since Morrowind
Starfield.
3. Game like Starfield, sorry, I don't know what I said. A game like Starfield, where when you have a conversation with an NPC, like it takes the camera and focuses it on that
Right.
one person and the world around them. This time it moves. I remember when Oblivion first came out,
Oh, it's
it froze the game, basically. Like
the
the
world
world, the
around
time, the
you.
world would pause in Oblivion, but they've improved it since. But still, it does that like focus. You know what I mean?
It does it focuses, but I've noticed like, and this is Bethesda we're talking about, so they're known for bugs, and that's fine because the content they make is great. But the I've noticed like the screen will pan and like move to the side and things will like I had a pot of flour sitting on a bar. I was talking to the bartender, and the whole thing just moved in front of her. But it's a Bethesda game,
It's a
so it's like,
Bethesda
I don't know,
game.
whatever. I don't
And I will say too, like, there are times where I'd be talking to an NPC and like another NPC walks just right in front of the camera or gets stuck. And so now
Yeah.
I'm talking to this NPC that I'm not really talking to. And hey, I can't see the person I'm talking to.
So I guess my feelings is Starfield is a next gen game. With old gen.
Mechanics, maybe?
Yeah, I was thinking of mechanics. There's some previous gen mechanics in it. I think it hits next gen where, like, No Man's Sky, like, the vastness of the game itself is, hey, I see that over there. I'm gonna go travel to it.
I agree with that. Like it, the vastness is incredible.
It is.
They added space combat, which
Incredible. So
it's so much fun.
the whole flying in outer space is insane because not only are you fighting in outer space, but you have your attributes, here in the corner of like shields, missiles, laser beams, engines, all that stuff. Like you have to balance it out. And that's the first time I've ever seen that in any game of like, this is, I have to balance my attributes out here so I can either survive this fight or get to my next destination as quick as possible.
I have seen it before, but I didn't want to rain on your parade either.
Okay, well,
It was
I've
in
not seen before.
games I loved as a kid, so X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, and then recently Star Wars Squadrons, but
But
those are the
not to
only two
that
games.
depth.
I will say, like, it's taken it to another level. I will agree with that. Like,
Right.
it's taken it to the next level.
Okay, but those games did not have you going to a planet, walking
No.
around on that planet,
No,
picking up
nothing
side
like
quests,
that.
going back to outer space, and then doing
Right.
all that again.
No, nothing like that. Is it the family?
No, it's my
Oh,
neighbors.
okay.
It's yeah.
And I will say too that another complaint I have against Starfield, because we live in a world where something like Cyberpunk, you get one loading screen. That's it.
Oh
Zelda,
yeah, there's
one loading
one
screen.
loading screen.
That's it.
Yeah,
But
you run to your spaceship, you gotta load into the spaceship. You gotta load out of the spaceship. You gotta load to the planet. You want to hyper jump, you gotta load. Yeah.
Yeah, there. I wish they would have hid some of the loading screens, like how
Right.
some modern AAA developers have
Like
done.
to you transition into a certain area. Yeah.
Because that's something like, say, for example, Jedi Survivor had did. Like when you are, if people didn't know this, when you are going from one place to another, and he has to like crawl through a space or something,
Space or something.
that.
That's a loading
Yeah,
screen.
it's a loading screen. It's just a small loading screen. And I wish Bethesda would have done something like that to hide the loading screen. Because we're talking like loading screen, 5 seconds, you're on to the next thing. And I'm like, we don't, that's kind of unnecessary.
It is. Yeah, it definitely is. I'm gonna my biggest complaint and the thing that I think that is so weird about the game is, yeah, there's like 20 people in an area walking around, but they're all moving in the same motion. Or some people are just standing there and not moving at all. And I took a recording, a screenshot. Yeah, I recorded, running down to the transit in New Atlantis. And everybody was moving the same, they all stopped. Kind of sat there. And I just kept running past them. I was like, that's not, it's just weird. Like,
It
it's
kind of takes you out of it,
unrealistic.
doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely took me out of it. Now, I will say the game, it's vast, it's big, and I, it's a game that I'll probably play throughout the winter. And there's something about space games in winter that really connect with me. So I don't want to blast through this game. I don't have any intention to, go 80 hours into the game within a week. I played through the Mass Effect series probably what 10 years ago through winter. Started September, worked my way through February, beat all three games. And that is one of my fondest gaming memories, like going through that entire story. And I want this with Starfield to be the same thing. Now, there's some stuff that I don't care for in the game, but the game itself is like I can go in any direction I want. I can explore outer space. I don't have to fight in the game. I don't have to fight at all. I could sit there and talk to people the entire time. I could persuade people. I could, be one of the best talkers in the game. I don't have to fight. And I love that about Bethesda games. Like, you choose your path. Do you want to be passive? Do you want to be aggressive? How do you want to approach the game? Do you want to be a thief? Do you want to be a fighter? Or do you want to be someone that works on ships and, is just a good person all in all, I guess you'd say. Do you want to be a scientist? Do you want to research? There's just so many aspects of the game. This is like D&D in a game itself. It's like you choose your own role, you pursue it. You build your attributes up and you go through with it in the game. And I love that about Bethesda games. I love that about Skyrim, Fallout, all of the games. Like there is no you, there's not a lot of limitations to this game.
No, I 100% agree. I was telling this to everyone at work, like, it feels weird to say this. I know you haven't played it, so you can't agree with it, but everyone at work does agree when I what I'm about to say, though. Baldur's Gate is probably game of the year. It's probably one of the greatest games I've played in a absolutely a long time. And that's just how it is. Like, Baldur's Gate is probably one of the greatest games I've ever played.
And I believe that you are probably right because Starfield, Baldur's Gate, and maybe Diablo are the three biggest games to release this year.
This year, absolutely. So having said that, Baldur's Gate wanna be one of the greatest games I've ever played. I will die on that hill. I still find myself playing more of Starfield since it dropped. And I have a ton of fun with Starfield.
Because you can go into Starfield, and I can't speak to Baldur's Gate because I've not played it. You can go to Starfield and do a quest and be done in an hour. You can be done. And you go back to it. And there's so much more to the game to go to. But you can go down the quest line and just enjoy it. Or for me, the other day I went in and I wanted to work on modifications. I want to work on recipes. Just stuff. Like I'm not tied down to jumping into battles. I'm not tied down to I just want to explore. It's about exploration.
And the random events very much has that Bethesda touch, which I love,
It
because it
does.
keeps it light, keeps it funny, keeps things interesting, or it keeps things I don't know. Like I jumped into a star system one day, and a little girl came up to me in her starship with her dad. She's like, "Hi, mister, do you want to buy my lemonade?" Aww. And the dad was like, "We don't have lemonade on the ship." And I gave her money anyway.
Still, that's so cool. Like that random stuff is
I just love it.
Starfield a next gen game? In a way, I believe it is, but it's a next gen game with an old engine.
Yeah. I think Bethesda should, I don't change things. I think it's time for another change for them, if that makes sense.
I feel like Starfield is the new IP they released with their old system.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see a brand new engine with the next Elder Scrolls they release.
I think so, because
they're not going to release another Elder Scroll on the same, you know, engine they released Skyrim on.
No. There's no way, because this is still running. Yeah, you're right. Let me restart.
It's not the same thing they ran Skyrim on, but it's still not like
it's still got the foundation. Yeah, it's got the foundation of Skyrim, of that engine that was used then. It's obviously been improved on. It's probably Skyrim Engine 3.0 or something like that, you know? Yeah. It's the basis there, but I think it's time for them to move on and to do something new.
They want to blow people away. They're going to release the next Elder Scrolls on something completely new, something groundbreaking, and something that may be buggy, but
will still blow people's minds. Because when Skyrim came out, it blew everyone's minds, even with the bugs.
Even when Oblivion released,
yep,
it blew people's minds too.
Yep.
Same with Morrowind. Like Elder Scrolls is their
baby. That is their baby. And so yeah, I'm excited to see what they will hopefully bring to the table next. But in the meantime, I'm going to still have a ton of fun with Starfield.
Same. I agree. Yep. And again, I apologize. This is an indie, but this is a big game that released this year. This is definitely worth talking about. And yeah, I don't know. It's fantastic.
And I don't know. I just love what Microsoft is doing also. Just like I can play it on my phone if I want to. I can play it on my computer. I can stream it on my Chromebook. I can play on my Xbox One, my Series X.
Look, speaking of space exploration games and everything else, Citizen Sleeper 2 was announced. And I know we've not talked about it. Citizen Sleeper 2 was announced. Don't know when it's going to come out. Play Citizen Sleeper, the original. Can I talk right now? Citizen Sleeper. It's on every platform. For crying out loud, play it. I can't preach this enough. You want a good space game? You don't want to play a AAA game? Play Citizen Sleeper, please. Support that dev. Support that company. It's such a good game.
And we may or may not have an interview coming up with a certain someone that's involved with the game.
Yes. We're still working on that. But anyways, this was fun. I'm glad we're able to do this tonight.
Tonight.
No. Nope. Stop. All right. You can follow us on K&K's Indie Gaming on Instagram, X, not Twitter. I don't think we've talked since the transition. It's been that long.
We have not. It has been that long. Wow. It's time for us to make an appearance on the new social platform that everyone's talking about.
follow us on there and tell all your friends about us. I got a burp. So with that, have a rad day.